This week, Marriott International, the world's largest hotel company with more than 7,000 properties around the globe, announced that it's laying off 17% of its corporate staff. The company has been hit hard by the steep drop in travel during the pandemic and is coping with a loss of $234 million in the year's second quarter. Arnie Sorensen, CEO of Marriott International, joins us now as part of View from the Top, our series of conversations with leaders. Arnie Sorensen, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to be with you.
Well, you have a view of the global economy because you're operating in 131 countries around the world. Are things back to normal anywhere?
No, is the short answer. I think that we are closest to being back to normal in China. But to give you a sort of a quick synopsis, when the virus first appeared in late January in China, and then in February and March in the rest of the world, our business declined in excess of 90%. Functionally, it disappeared. I think now when we look at August, we're probably down about 65%. So it's a meaningful improvement. But minus 65% compared to the Great Recession or the events after 9/11 is multiples worse than what we experienced then.
Well, and in the United States, obviously, different states are moving at different speeds when it comes to reopening. Are you seeing major differences within the U.S.? Are things very much different in, let's say, New York City than they are in Texas?
Absolutely. Generally, where people can drive, things are doing better. So the first travelers are vacationers, leisure travelers, not business travelers. And they're going places where they can control their own transportation, which typically is in their own cars. They are starting to fly a bit, and maybe the young are leading us in that space. They're going to beaches, they're going to the desert, they're going to mountains, and they're probably doing less to go to places like New York where there are, of course, restrictions, and the city is kind of closed in some respects. Mm-hmm. Things we would have gone to New York for last year to see a show or to go to a restaurant or to go to a museum, by and large, that can't be done today.
Right. We see the news that Marriott International is laying off 17% of its corporate staff. And if you look at sort of the news items in papers around the country, you'll see that, you know, 100 workers are being let go in one city and another 100 are being let go elsewhere. Do you have a sense of how many workers overall Marriott has had to lay off or furlough because of the pandemic?
I don't have a precise number. We did estimate before the pandemic that we had about 750,000 people around the world that wore our name badge every day. One of the reasons it's hard to get a precise number is they are not technically all our employees. But having said that, with business down still at 65%, and we would expect next year that we will see business compared to 2019 still down a third-ish order of magnitude from where we would have been before the pandemic, and probably a two-year recovery from that to get back to the levels we were at in 2019, it implies a headcount reduction around the world. And of course, each market will vary a little bit, each hotel will vary a little bit, but there are certainly tens of thousands of jobs that will be lost across our system across the globe.
Businesses, large and small, are waiting to see whether Congress can pass another relief act. What are you hoping to see from that? And what did you get from the CARES Act at Marriott International?
Well, the most important thing for us from the beginning has been to make sure that our people have the resources they need to survive the pandemic and to come out of it without lives ruined. And so our advocacy on the Hill beginning in February and March was intensely focused on unemployment insurance, making sure it was immediately available, making sure it was available at levels that allowed people to replace the income that they had lost with those kinds of resources that allow people, of course, to pay their rent, pay their mortgage payments, put food on their table. And I think that we're in the same position today. So the encouragement we give to the folks that we talk to on the Hill, let's move quickly and let's make sure that the individuals have got the kind of protection that they need in order to survive this. Marriott itself did not take money from the federal government in the first CARES Act, but many of our hotel owners who are small franchisees availed themselves of the Paycheck Protection Program or of the Main Street Lending Program. And of course, that's important, too, to minimize the disruption from this pandemic.
But you're saying that your message to Congress at this point would be that extra unemployment assistance that was included in the first CARES Act probably should be continued?
Probably at least substantially so. I mean, I think there are obviously people can get together and debate whether state benefits plus $600 federal benefits are necessary in some markets. And I think it's going to vary a little bit regionally. So if I'm in an urban market, I probably need all of that to replace the lost income if my job has been compromised. If I'm in a secondary or tertiary market in a part of the United States where the pay scale is lower than that, politicians could certainly have a debate about what that level ought to be. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't pretend to be an expert on exactly how you skin this cat, but it seems to me that getting as close as possible to replacing the lost income with state benefits and supplemental federal benefits should be the target.
How has the social unrest and the protest movement following the killing of George Floyd affected Marriott?
Well, it has caused for us, for me, for I think all of us in society, a sort of stark reminder of the kind of inequities that African Americans particularly face in the United States. And the killing of George Floyd and the fact that it was all recorded on video took all the nuance out of this, all the grayness out of this. And I think for many of us, this is a clarion call and a wake-up call and a reminder, I think, to every one of us, whether it be at Marriott or another company or how we exercise our voices or use our voices in the policy sphere, we've got to take some concrete steps in order to reduce this kind of inequity.
Well, American Airlines just announced that it will allow its workers to wear Black Lives Matter pins. Are Marriott employees allowed to wear anything that would show support for that movement if they want to?
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that. I know that generally we discourage political statements by our, you know, front desk teams, for example. We are certainly publicly speaking in favor of Black Lives Matter and in favor of addressing these racial inequities. So there's no fear about embracing the need to create change here. I think the more powerful steps that we can take are really to make sure that we are doing everything we possibly can around inclusion in our own business and then combining our voice with others in society to make sure we're driving policy changes that make the kinds of changes that are available today.
I just finally want to ask you about business travel, because so many businesses around the country and around the world have stopped sending their employees on the trips, the conferences, all those sorts of things that they used to do. Obviously, that has a huge impact in the hotel industry. But do you think that business travel is ever going to come back to the level that it was before?
The answer to the precise question is yes, I do. When we looked at our experience in after the Great Recession, after 9/11 and the tech bubble bursting in 2001, everybody said, we will not go back to traveling the way we did before. Now, sometimes that was driven more by economic pressure than by alternative technology, which is obviously even more available today than it's been in the past. But we tend to take this for a grain of salt. I think when we get back to an economy which is vibrant again, and that may take some time. You know, we're probably a few years of recovery here. I think we're going to see that people want to travel. They like to travel. It's the most interesting part of their work. It is where they get together with other people. It's a way to collect experiences, that they will go back to that. I think in the short term, and this is probably my biggest frustration, there are far too many offices that remain closed. And I think we're in a place today, I've gone into our headquarters, I'm going to go in later today in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. Headquarters is a whole lot safer than the grocery store. Now, our density is down. I think we'll be at a quarter to a third of what we were before the pandemic over the course of the next, you know, quarter or so. But there's no reason that we should be keeping everybody out. And I think there's a sense broadly, including one I have, which is productivity, particularly when you're looking at future issues and collaboration and training, gets harder with each passing month.
But don't you think there's a big difference between the grocery store, which is obviously a voluntary choice? You decide you want to go to the grocery store, as opposed to your office, where maybe you feel pressure from the boss who doesn't want to be on the hook if you get coronavirus when you go back in. I mean, are you going to make it sort of a voluntary for workers to come back into headquarters, or is it something that they would have to do?
I think that's a really good question, and I think the way we've envisioned it first is to communicate a welcome, not a mandate. Mm-hmm. And so for those who are ready to come back, let them come back, but make sure that we communicate to the others that if you have pre-existing health conditions or childcare issues, or by the way, if you're uncomfortable for any reason, remote work is going to continue to be accepted. And I think by communicating the welcome, at least we start to take the first step. And it's not just about what we can accomplish or what other employers can accomplish, but think about all the small businesses that are located near where we go to work. The lunch counter, the coffee shop, the florist, the dry cleaner. Those businesses are closed, and they won't open until we start to step back out.
That is Arne Sorensen, who is the CEO of Marriott International, the largest hotel chain in the world. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Jeremy. Thank you. Be well.